Amen. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's who he said he was. And so I want to encourage you to take God's word and take your teaching outline and follow along this morning as we look at this message. I am the resurrection and the life. The question this morning is, does the resurrection of Jesus Christ make a difference? As you think about that, maybe your marriage is failing. Does the resurrection of Jesus Christ influence your marriage? Maybe your family is drifting apart. Does the resurrection of Jesus Christ make a difference in your family? Maybe your career, you just keep hitting a wall. Does the resurrection of Jesus Christ make a difference in your career? Maybe you look at your health. Your health is deteriorating as well. Does the resurrection of Jesus Christ make any difference? For churches that are declining and even dying, does the resurrection of Jesus Christ make any difference? For someone who follows a losing basketball program, does the resurrection of Jesus Christ make any difference? Well, that's a subject for another time. That's really not for today. But does the resurrection of Jesus Christ make any difference? I can tell you this, because the stone is rolled away, makes a difference in your life, in your marriage, your family, your career, your health, but even in dying churches. Listen, when the resurrection of Jesus Christ took place, whatever is dying can be resurrected as well. The resurrection of Jesus makes a difference. Truth of the matter is, we look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and here's why we're not going to do that today, but he says to believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If Jesus Christ is still in the tomb, we should just close up, go home, go to the golf course, go fishing, go do something else. Because we need to be doing something different if Jesus is in the grave. But here's the glorious news. When we're singing this morning, we're celebrating the Lord's Supper, we're baptizing people, we stand and preach the Word of God, we are not wasting our time. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is not in the grave. The Son of God is alive, and that changes everything for us on this Resurrection Sunday. Jesus is alive. Now, as we think about the resurrection, what is the resurrection costing us? There was a pastor in Germany. His name was Paul Robert Schneider. He was the first pastor to be imprisoned in Germany by the Nazi people. And so as he was there, when he is a pastor, he wasn't famous. He wasn't political. He wasn't somebody who was speaking all over the world. But he was a faithful, godly pastor, a godly husband, and a godly father. And as he was in prison by Nazis, here's what he was doing. He was talking to other prisoners about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection changed his life and his ministry. And so the Nazi people realized that he's going to keep talking to people about Jesus. So they tormented him. They abused him. They did everything you can imagine about him. And it still did not silence him about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote letters to his kids saying again, here's what I know, Jesus Christ is alive, and even though I'm being tortured, he is with me now. And they realized they couldn't stop him, they couldn't silence him, and by lethal injection, they killed him. And why? It wasn't because he's a criminal. It wasn't because he had taken advantage of people. It was because he believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, shed his blood, buried in a tomb, but on resurrection morning, he walked out of that grave. He believed that, he lived that, he preached that, and it cost him his physical life. Can you imagine, though, what the welcome in heaven must have been like? Why? Because he gave his life for Jesus and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus himself. What a glorious thought that is. But as you and I think about this message today, we think about John chapter 11. I want you to find your place there in God's word. And I want us to think about, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Does the resurrection of Christ make any difference for us on this Sunday? And I'm going to say with a hallelujah, yes, it does. And so let me walk through this. Number one, don't be surprised by struggles. As you and I think about struggles, there are two extremes in the world. When we think about struggles and adversities and storms and challenges in life, there are some people who say this, when you give your life to Jesus, you turn from your sin and you trust him, you'll never have any struggles in your life. That is not true from God's word. There's another group who says that if you give your life to Christ and you start having struggles, then there must be sin in your life. It doesn't always mean you've sinned either. There are consequences to our sin. Whatever we sow, we're also going to reap. But there are times God will allow struggles into your life because He's wanting to do a work in and through your life as well. Here's what we find. In this context, in John chapter 11, Jesus says, spending time with a family He dearly loved. He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He'd been in their home, as we see in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Jesus had been in their home. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to what He had to teach. And now we come to John chapter 11, and the very one whom He loved, talking about Lazarus, the word is he is ill. And just because you are intimate with Jesus, that doesn't always excuse you from suffering and struggles in life. So don't be surprised by struggles. Let me give you two things. Number one, take off our mask. Folks, as you think about, if I ask you today, if you could travel anywhere in the world, everything's paid for, where would you want to go in the world? I would imagine many people say, I want to go to Hawaii, I want to go to Alaska, I want to go to New Zealand, I want to go somewhere where there's a nice golf course. Sure, you'd want to do that. I would want to do that. You'd want to do that. So where would you want to go to? But if you could live in Bible days and you could be a part of any story in God's Word, I would imagine many of us on this Resurrection Sunday would say, I'd like to be a part of the story that unfolds in John's Gospel, chapter 11. And the key for us is we must be willing to take off our mask even on a Resurrection Sunday like today. Here's what I mean. The Bible says, John chapter 11, verse 1, now a certain man was ill. Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. They loved Jesus. Jesus loved them. But here his friend is all of a sudden come down with an illness, a struggle in life. And then we see this text and it goes on. And Jesus is going to be doing some teaching here. Go back to John chapter 9 just for a moment. Here's often how we do these things. In John chapter 9, verse 1, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And so that's a question. Did he sin or his parents sin? And what is Jesus going to say in John chapter 9, but also in John chapter 11? Don't be surprised by struggles. Take off our mask and realize you can love Jesus, you can be intimate with Him, and still struggle in life. And here's what He says here. I want you to see this. In John chapter 9, He answered those disciples, and He says, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but the works of God might be displayed in him. Even though he was born blind, listen, I'm getting ready to do a work in his life and in and through him that's going to give glory to God, and they're going to see God at work. In John chapter 11, we see this story, and here's what Jesus says, but this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. On this Resurrection Sunday, as I stand before you with God's Word and just think about life and think about this family Jesus loved, and here he is ill, he's sick, he's leading to death, taking off the mask, he was struggling. Don't be surprised by struggles on this Resurrection Sunday. I look back over my life and I can see struggle after struggle after struggle, but I sought to handle those struggles with John 9 and John 11 in focus. Here's what I mean by that. Be transparent with you on Resurrection Sunday. When I was a young boy, my mom and dad went through a divorce. I didn't understand it as a young kid. Didn't realize what was happening, really. I just knew our family was not where it needed to be. And so my dad went this way, and we stayed with my mom. And then the older I got, though, I saw the Lord work in both their lives. And then my dad was killed in a boating accident. My mom passed away about 12 years ago. I went through struggle after struggle, even as a kid and growing up in life, but seeing the work of God as well. I've had the opportunity to pastor some very difficult pastorates where you struggled in the pastoral ministry. God, what are you doing? How's this church going to turn around? What kind of decision are we going to make? But you walk faithful to Christ in through that. Angela and I have been married 38 years of marriage. We've walked through a painful miscarriage. We've walked through years upon years of infertility. And even in the midst of that, we have not become angry, bitter, resentful toward God at all. We have handled all of these struggles in life, taken off the mask just through a John 9 and John 11 perspective to say, God, I don't know why all these things are happening. You know what's going on in our lives, but Lord, we're praying you're going to use the circumstances of our lives to do what? To bring glory to you and that your work in and through us might be displayed, that you would be glorified. Lord, that you would increase and we would decrease. We look at the struggles of life. Don't be surprised, but you see them through the eyes of Jesus, and you want him to be glorified and his works to be evident in the lives of other people.
Amen.
Again, doesn't mean we don't struggle, doesn't mean we don't question things. But we just simply say, Lord, we're going to trust you. You're sovereign. You're in control. We're going to walk faithful to you, and we're going to trust you. We can't understand it. We can't explain it on this side of eternity, but we are seeking to take the mask off and trust you. Number two, lift up our voices. In the context of John 11, here again, the word is that Lazarus is ill. And so in verse 3, so the sister sent word to him, Lord, the one whom you love is ill. And so they're getting word to him. I just want to tell you, sometimes when you're struggling in life, and I look around, I see kids in this room and students in this room and adults in this room and families. When you're struggling in life, I encourage you, take off the mask, lift up your voices, and cry out to him. That's what these sisters did, Mary and Martha. Lord, the very one whom you love is sick. He's ill. He's not doing well. There may be some here today, and you need to say, now, Lord, in all honesty, I am mad that our son-in-law just walked out on our daughter. God, I don't understand that. I don't know why he made that decision, but Lord, my heart is upset about that. There's some of you need to be honest with the Lord today to say, now, Lord, I don't know financially how we're going to make it over the next number of months since I lost my job, but Lord, we're trusting you. I can't explain it. I don't know how this is going to work, but Lord, I'm just being honest with you. And then there's some in this room, you need to come before him, lift up your voice, be honest with him and say, Lord, as I look around at people around us in our relational circles, everyone around us, they seem to get blessing after blessing after blessing. And Lord, when I look at our lives, marriage, family, circumstances, Lord, we get burden after burden after burden. And Lord, I don't understand that. Does the resurrection of Christ make any difference? Absolutely, it makes a difference. But I just encourage you, don't be surprised by struggles. And when you do that, take off the mask and be honest with God, but also lift up your voice. You can be honest with him. He can handle whatever honesty you throw his way. He can handle that. Just be honest with him. Look at number two. When you find yourself going through life and the resurrection, don't be disappointed by delays. As you think about this, maybe you're flying to California. Maybe you're going on that trip to Hawaii. You find yourself leaving Nashville. You get into the Nashville airport. You fly to the Atlanta airport. You've got a layover there. You're sitting in the gate. You can't wait to get on the plane because you're going to your destination. Vacation is going to be out of this world. And then all of a sudden the gate agent comes on and says, we're going to inform you that there is a flight delay because we have a mechanical issue on the plane. We'll give you an update when we get the plane fixed. All of a sudden your heart just crashes. You know why? Because you were looking forward to time on the beach or time on the golf course or sleeping late in the morning, and all of a sudden your plans just got disrupted because there's a delay, a flight issue, a mechanical issue has delayed your flight. You get in a car from here in Clarksville and you're driving to Nashville. You've got an important meeting. You're going down Interstate 24. You're driving the speed limit 70 miles an hour. By the way, the speed limit on 24 is not 95. It's 70. And so you're driving the speed limit, going 70 miles an hour on I-24. You're driving into Nashville. All of a sudden, you see taillights, and then I-24 becomes a parking lot. Can I get a witness on that? Anybody been there? We've all been there. And what happens? All of a sudden, your plans, maybe this important meeting, became toast because you're going to sit on that interstate maybe for hours of delay. Here's the interesting part. What do you do when God seems to delay coming to your aid? What do you do? You've asked him, said, Lord, Lazarus is sick. He's ill. God, here's my need. I need help immediately. But what happens when it seems like he delays? Would you look at these things here from God's word? Number one, trust Jesus' timing. When you think about the timing of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has divine knowledge. His timing is always perfect. And it looked like here it was in this text, Lord, the one you love who is sick. When Jesus heard this, he said, this illness does not end in death for the glory of God. And now when Jesus, so forth, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. He was in no rush. I mean, for us, we get that news and we got to drop everything and go right then. Jesus gets the news about his friend Lazarus, and what happens? He stays 2 more days where he's at. The reality is, in biblical understanding in that part of the world, he was only about 20 miles from Mary and Martha in that situation. And I would imagine for those two sisters, they loved him. They spent time with him. Even though he was only 20 miles away, I would imagine to them, it seemed like he was a million miles away. You ever been there? Let's be honest. You ever been there? You asked the Lord to do something. One, you thought, Lord, did my prayer even give it above the ceiling? But then you realize, Lord, it seemed like you are a million miles from me. And so they sent word to Jesus. He understood what was going on in Lazarus' life, but he stayed where he was at two more days. But you have to trust the timing of Jesus. His timing is always perfect. He's not early. He's not late. He is always on time. Look at the next part there. When he delays, though, what is he doing? I want to give you these three words. Number one is guidance. He's guiding you. If you're asking him to do something in your life and he delays and he doesn't seem to be coming through right at the moment, he is preparing you. He's preparing the situation. He's preparing a place. He's doing something. He's guiding you. Word number two is growth. Some of the greatest days of spiritual growth in your life are going to come in the valleys of life. When you have to wait upon him, God will grow you. And he's doing that with Mary and Martha. And then third is glory. He is waiting because he wants to get the glory of what's getting ready to happen. And so he's going to show up at this gravesite at the right time, and it's going to bring glory to the Heavenly Father. But he knows he has to get there at the right time. He's not going to be late. He's not going to be early. He's going to show up at that gravesite at the right time. And so you just have to realize he's at work. Number two, hear Jesus teaching. You've been around people, and I've been around people. You're always around them. They're always teaching. They're always talking about teaching you this and teaching you another lesson. If you've got some people in your life who are always teaching you, you need to hang out with those people because they are investing in your life. They want to see you grow and mature in your relationship to Christ. So if they're teaching you, continue to learn from those individuals. Jesus was always teaching. When I look at John chapter 11, he was teaching his disciples. He talked about Lazarus. They thought he was just taking some rest. But Jesus finally had to teach them and say to them plainly, listen, Lazarus is not asleep somewhere. He's dead. Jesus had to teach him very clearly. And then he's teaching these two sisters, Mary and Martha, because finally Jesus is in the area. Martha hears about it. She goes out to the Lord and she says, oh Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. And what did Jesus say there? He was teaching her. And then they go back and Mary hears Jesus here. She runs out to him. She falls at his feet before him. And what does he do? He teaches her as well. And what are they teaching? Jesus said to those two sisters, listen, I am the resurrection and the life. What an amazing truth to teach them. And then for the crowd that's standing around this tomb, he's teaching them as well because he said, I'm teaching, I said this on account of the people standing around that they may believe that you sent me. So he's teaching his disciples, he's teaching Mary and Martha, and he's teaching the onlookers, the crowd there. He is always teaching. And so I just want to encourage you as you go along in life, don't be surprised at those struggles. Every single one of us, you love Jesus, you walk with him, struggles will still come your way. Don't be disappointed by delays because, again, he's going to work in your life on his time, not your time. So trust him in the midst of that. Listen to what he's trying to teach you as you wait upon him. And then number three, don't be mortified by mountains. Mountains come to all of us in life. What mountains are you facing on Resurrection Sunday? How many of you are staring a physical mountain right in your face? How many of you are dealing with a relational mountain, a vocational mountain, a financial mountain? How many of you are dealing with an emotional, mental mountain? And then how many of you are facing a spiritual mountain in your life on this very Sunday? You look at it. Here's the good news. When that stone was rolled away, Jesus walked out of that grave. It means that he can crush your mountains. He can do that. He has the power to do that. And so Jesus shows up. And Lazarus here has been in a tomb for a number of days. And Jesus is going to show up. He's taught these two sisters to say, I am the resurrection and the life. Now again, I've done many, many funerals in my life. I've been around many grave sites. But I've never seen someone at a grave site come back to life again. Jesus is getting ready to change this family's life. Now, I've got some pastors who've done some funerals, and they've got some interesting stories when it comes to funerals. I've got one pastor friend. I was doing a funeral a couple weeks ago in Shelbyville, Tennessee. It had been raining. It was a dreary day. And the funeral director said, be careful when you get to the gravesite where the casket's going to be because it's slippery right there and it's kind of uneven. Just be careful when you're there. Now, my friend who was pastoring a church, he was doing a funeral one day. I don't know how in the world this happened, but he got to the gravesite and he walked up to where the casket was going to be and he fell in the grave. And I don't know how he did that. His suit and tie on and so forth. He's down in the grave. I don't know how in the world he got down in there. He's trying to get out. Finally, some people came and helped him get out of that 6-foot hole. And he gets out of that grave. And he was so embarrassed. He's trying to clean himself off. And he thought, Lord, what am I going to do now? I've just fell in the grave. And he said, the only thing I could think about when I came up out of that grave, I just started singing, up from the grave he arose. He said, I didn't know anything else to do but just sing that song. And then I had another pastor friend. He was following the hearse one day at a funeral. He's going to the cemetery and he's behind the hearse because he didn't really know where he was going. The hearse was leading the way. And all of a sudden the hearse stopped, but he was messing around with his phone and he didn't see the hearse had stopped and he crashed into the back of that hearse. They had to call somebody, a specialized group, to come out there and cut that door open so they could get the casket out. And so, amazing stories when it comes to funerals. But here Jesus is. I just want to encourage you. They're at a mountain because, Lord, we told you he was ill. We told you he was not getting better. You delayed even getting here. And now he's dead and he's buried in this tomb, in this cave. Here's what I want you to walk away. Don't be mortified by your mountains. And I want to give you why. Here's some things I encourage you to do. Look at number one. Kneel before Jesus. Mary heard that Jesus was near. The Bible says here in John 11, she runs out to him. And what does she do? She didn't stand there pointing her finger in the face of Jesus and saying, Jesus, I knew if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. She didn't do that. She ran out to the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says she fell at his feet. Just kneel before him. If you're facing some mountains, here's what Mary and Martha finally realized. They can't fix this situation with their brother. Only Jesus is going to fix this. There are going to be times in your life, in my life, when you're struggling and he's delayed and you're facing this mountain, you're going to realize, I can't fix this. Somebody around me can't fix this. Only the Lord can fix this. And what do? You come and fall at his knees, his face, and say, Lord, I trust you. Only you can fix this. Right. On this Resurrection Sunday, there are many of us in this room. There are many people who are watching. You need to sacrifice pride and ego and fall on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, I don't have a clue what to do, but I am trusting you and dependent upon you, and I'm embracing you. You kneel before Jesus and you'll see those mountains in your life crumble before you. Number two, show intimate emotions. The Bible says here in John chapter 11, when Jesus showed up to the tomb. If you want to memorize a verse, I'd encourage you to memorize John chapter 11, verse 35. Shortest verse in the Bible, only two words. If anybody says, do you know a Bible verse? Just give them this one. It'll work. And what is it? Jesus wept. Easy to remember that. I did a funeral on Thursday. The brother in Christ may be here today. Him and his wife had been married 64 years of marriage. Incredible marriage. When you saw one, you saw the other one. We had the service right here. Casket was right here in front of me. And then we got here. We left here, got in the car. We drove all the way out in the country. We get to the graveside out at this country cemetery. And we're standing there. And I'm literally standing right by the casket. And that brother and his family sitting right in front of me. And when we get there on Thursday afternoon out there to the cemetery, he just literally bends over in his seat and starts weeping and sobbing. And I just said, brother, and to him, but also to others, it's okay to cry and to weep as you grieve. You know why? Because in Genesis chapter 23, Abraham, his wife Sarah passed away. And the Bible says in Genesis 23, he was weeping over her. Yeah. In Genesis chapter 50, Joseph, credible young man, heart for God, God used him. His dad passed away. And the Bible says he was weeping over the death of his dad. Then I said at the cemetery, standing beside the casket the other day, in John chapter 11, Jesus comes to the tomb of a friend. And what does the Lord Jesus do? He sheds tears. He's weeping. Jesus wept. Show intimate emotions. Fall at your knees before him. Show intimate emotions and you'll see what? Your mountains start to crumble. Number three, follow Jesus' leadership. As Jesus is at this tomb, he's standing there and here's what he says to them. He says this, take away the stone. That's an amazing word of instruction. Take away the stone. And what did they say back? Well, Lord, you don't realize he's been dead 4 days. What the ESV says, there's an odor. I love what the KJV says. Lord, he stinketh. It's a good word right there. He stinketh. He's been in here about 4 days. It's going to be bad when that stone rolls away. He stinketh. But Jesus said what? Take away the stone. Whatever Jesus asks you to do, then you do it. You follow his leadership. It may not make sense. It may not be convenient to you. It may not fit your schedule and your plans. But if Jesus asks you to do it, do what he says. Just follow the leadership of Jesus. He said, take away the stone. And what did they do? They took away the stone. Right. What is the Lord Jesus asking you to do on this Resurrection Sunday? Do you need to get saved today? Do you need to be baptized today? Do you need to join the church today? You need to repent of a sin? Do you need to surrender to ministry? Whatever the Lord Jesus asks you to do, follow his leadership. Number four, hear Jesus' voice. As you look at this text, he says, can you imagine the stones rolled away? I imagine the smell was there. And what did Jesus say? He didn't call just any name out. He called Lazarus' name out. What did he say? Lazarus, come out. The Bible says he said it with a loud voice. And I would imagine he called Lazarus because if he just said come out, every dead person around there would have started coming out at that point. So he just called Lazarus to come out. But he heard the voice. Lazarus heard the voice of Jesus. What is he saying to you? Listen to his voice. That gentle whisper. What is he saying to you? And if he speaks to you by your voice, by your name, I encourage you, don't run from him. Run to him. Yes. There's some people in this room, you've been running from Jesus for the last number of weeks and months and years of your life. I just encourage you on this Resurrection Sunday, stop running. Embrace him. Hear his voice. Do what he's been asking you to do for months and years of your life. Do and obey the leadership of Jesus in life. And then number five, watch Jesus work. What happened in this text, it says he called him out. Lazarus came out, said with a loud voice. The man who had died came out. His hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. What a glorious experience at this grave site. He called Lazarus and all of a sudden Lazarus walks out of the tomb. Why? Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Watch Jesus work. A number of years ago, Angie and I lived in Glasgow, Kentucky. We lived at 120 Cardinal Court and it was my dad's house, and when my dad was killed in a boating accident, Angie and I moved in. And so we were living at 120 Cardinal Court, and back in those days, we got a paper that came to our house every day. And we had a paper boy. His name was Benji. And so one day, Benji came to the door and knocked on the door, and I went to the door, and there was Benji, our paper boy. And I opened the door. It was a cold, wintry day, and it was that time to be paid. And so Angie goes back, and she was going to write a check. Now, for some of you today, I just said some things. You think I'm speaking a foreign language. You don't even know what a paper is, and you don't know what a check is. Well, if you'll ask your parents or grandparents, they'll tell you what a paper is and what a check is. They'll give you insight to that. But it was cold that day, and I said to Benji, won't you come inside? Angie's going to get you a check, and if you'll come inside. And so he steps into our den, and so I'm talking to him, and then I said, Benji, tell me a little bit about your life. He lived on the street across from us, and he told me about his life and so forth. And then as the Lord would have it, I just transitioned to conversation, even back in those days, to talk about Jesus and a gospel conversation. And Benji told me about when he surrendered his life to Jesus, how he had prayed. He knew he had sinned. The Lord loved him, gave his life on a cross. Tomb was empty. And Benji gave his life to Christ and trusted him. And I just encouraged Benji. I invited him to come to the church that we were at. I encouraged him to be faithful to his church. Talking about youth groups and those type things, Benji was very open and receptive. And so we gave Benji the check and he went on his way. A few days passed. It was on a Wednesday afternoon. I was at church. A family came up to me and said, "Did you hear about the young boy in your neighborhood?" I said, "No, I didn't hear about the young boy." I said, "There was a young boy in your neighborhood just suddenly passed away. Just collapsed and died." And I said, "Really, who do you know the name?" And they said, "His name is Benji." I said, "Oh, wow." Kind of stopped me in my tracks because I said to the person, "Tell me, just a few days ago, Benji was standing in our den and I talked to him about his relationship with Christ. And he told me about his salvation and when he was born again. And he told me about the circumstance in his life." And so later that afternoon, I get a phone call. And a phone call from the funeral home and said, "Benji's mom and dad wants to know, would you do him a favor?" And I said, "If all possible, would you come to the funeral home and talk to them about your conversation with Benji just a few days ago?" And so I get in a car and I drive up to the funeral home and I walk in the funeral home and there's Benji's mom and dad and family standing there. And I walk up next to the casket, so I'm standing at the casket. The family's right there with us and I just shared with them what I just shared with you. Benji came to deliver our paper. It was time to be paid. I invited him to come in. And as he came in, I just asked him about his relationship with Christ. He told me when he was saved and when he was born again. And folks, I can just tell you on this Resurrection Sunday, when I was standing there by that casket and sharing with mom and dad and family there, you could just see the spiritual relief come over their faces. They didn't know he had been saved like that. And I stood there at that casket that day out of John chapter 11. These two grieving sisters, here's what Jesus said: "Your brother will rise again." I stood there at Benji's casket, his mom and dad, family standing around there. Said, here's what happened on that afternoon that he came to get paid. I said, because he was born again, he knew Christ, he had repented of his sins. I said, here's what I can promise you. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, here's what I can say: your son will rise again. He will. That's not an empty promise. That's what Jesus said. You know why? Because he has defeated death and the grave. Jesus is alive. And he said these words: "I am the resurrection and the life." So I want to ask you on this Sunday, does the resurrection of Christ make any difference? Folks, I wouldn't want to stand at a graveside of my loved one. I wouldn't want to stand here on Thursday with a casket right here. I wouldn't want to stand in that funeral home, Ed Crow and Son's funeral home in Glasgow, standing by that casket if the tomb had still been occupied. I could stand there with confidence. They were grieving, and I understood that, but I could stand there with confidence. You know why? Because Jesus defeated death. He walked out of that tomb on that Sunday morning, and Jesus Christ is alive, and one day he is coming again. Amen. One day. And so, I want us to bow our heads together. Does the resurrection of Christ make any difference? It does. And we're going to sing a song in a moment, and Jesus paid it all, and we're going to walk out of these doors and go have a great Sunday afternoon. But I just want to show you again how fragile and uncertain life is. And I want to encourage you today, does the resurrection of Christ make any difference? It makes all the difference in the world. And I plead with you, I just ask you, I appeal to you, that if you're in this room and you don't have a relationship to Christ, you may be a child, you may be a student, you may be a young adult, you may be someone with a lot of experience in life, and you don't have a relationship with Christ, trust him today. Turn from your sin and embrace the cross and his empty tomb. Let him change your life today, because you don't know what's going to happen the rest of this day. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Trust him today. you need to be baptized, you need to join the fellowship of this church, you just need somebody to pray with you because life is tough, you're struggling, there are delays, you've got mountains, but again, His resurrection makes all the difference. We'd love to pray with you. If you're watching online, you respond to us, platform, we'll respond to you as well. But here's the good news. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. So Lord Jesus, thank You for Your sinless life. Thank You for Your sacrificial death. Thank You for Your glorious resurrection. And thank You for Your invitation today to come to You, Lord. And I pray on this Resurrection Sunday in the room and those who are watching, we will see people get saved. We'll see people make spiritual decisions. We'll see people be set free. We'll see mountains be moved. Why? Because the resurrection, Lord, Your resurrection makes all the difference in the world, changes everything. And we come to You, Lord, today, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.